Hey, this is Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net, and you are about to listen to a 13-minute audio interview with WWE star Chris Jericho that was conducted on Thursday, June 17, 2010. Chris Jericho is making the rounds to promote the ABC game show Downfall, which he is hosting. It debuts on Tuesday, June 22nd at 8 p.m. Central on ABC. If audio is your thing, if you like interviews, I definitely recommend you become a ProWrestling.net member. There are annual and monthly membership options available, and you can hear audio interviews with former TNA creative team member Dutch Mantel, who granted us his first interview, and it ranges about 3 hours in length, as well as former WWE creative team member Court Bauer, Conan, UFC champion Brock Lesnar, and many more. So if you are into audio interviews and audio in general, there's a ton of it over on the .NET members site. Rich Twilling and I also do weekly Q&A audios in which we answer the questions of .NET members. We review the WWE Raw television show, TNA Impact, all the WWE and TNA pay-per-views, and much more. And you can sign up for as little as $5.50 per month if you take the annual option. If you're listening on iTunes and you're wondering how you go about signing up, head on over to ProWrestling.net, and on the main page you will see the sign-up area right in the middle of the page. And if you sign up today, you will be listening to all those interviews and have access to the ad-free version of the site, the .NET members forum, and much more. So I hope you'll take advantage of that after you listen to the Chris Jericho interview. But for now, enjoy.
This is Jason Powell here from ProWrestling.net. It is my absolute pleasure to be joined by WWE star Chris Jericho, who is promoting the debut of his new show, Downfall. Chris, tell me about this new gig. It debuts Tuesday night at 9 Eastern on ABC.
Yeah, man, it's a new game show that takes place on a rooftop in downtown L.A., like 100 feet above the ground. And basically, you have to answer a certain amount of trivia questions within a certain amount of time, or else the prizes that you have a chance of winning that are put on this giant, incredibly large, this futuristic conveyor belt. If you don't answer the questions in time, they tumble over the edge and crash on the street below. Conversely, if you don't answer more questions and the money that you can win, if that goes over the edge, then you go over the edge as well. So it's a really kind of an extreme revolutionary new type of show that's actually a really good game show as well. A lot of cool twists and turns involved in it.
Now, have all six episodes been taped, and could your WWE schedule be altered if this thing takes off and there's a demand for additional episodes?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's always a way to make things work. I'm a pretty busy guy, and I've done a bunch of different things outside of the WWE, and it's always how I'm able to pull them off. You just do some schedule juggling and work together to make it happen. So it's never been a problem in the past, and if we make more downfalls, it'll definitely be something that I look forward to doing.
And I know you've done a lot of projects outside WWE, including fronting your band Fozzy, which recently released Chasing the Grail, your first autobiography, A Lion's Tale, Around the World in Spandex, various VH1 shows. But I'm curious, did anyone from WWE express any concern this time around over hosting Downfall, just because it's an ABC show, which is technically a rival of NBC Universal? You'd think they would see it as great exposure for you and thus the company as well.
Yeah, no, I never really heard anything about it. I mean, there's other things that have been brought up from ABC. I mean, earlier this year there was Dancing with the Stars that wanted me to come do the show, and I couldn't because of WrestleMania, but that's an ABC show as well. So, there's always a way to make it work. And I know Vince has a working relationship with NBC, but that doesn't mean he can't work with anybody else. And the bottom line is just to get as much emphasis and as much, you know, exposure on the WWE and on you know, WWE talent as possible. And it's definitely going to be a great way to do that. There's a lot of people watching Downfall that have no idea who Chris Jericho is when they first start watching, and they're going to know afterwards, so that's good.
Is there a chance we'll see you on Dancing with the Stars in the future?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance. Like I said, I would have loved to have done it before, but it just didn't work out scheduling-wise. But in the future, I'd definitely like to give it a try. It's a great show and obviously very popular, but it's a lot of work, and you can't really be splitting your time between that and other things. You got to kind of put all your emphasis and all your effort into it. So it would have to be a point in time where I was able to just concentrate on that and that only.
Now, I know you've said in past interviews that there was kind of a different dynamic when you returned to WWE following your long hiatus. And do you believe the success you've had outside the company with all these projects led to an increased level of respect from Vince McMahon and others within the company?
Possibly. I just think more so just the work I've done since I've come back has led to more respect and more, different attitude from the company because, I mean, when I came back in 2007, I'd done some good stuff in the WWE, but the stuff I've done the last couple of years is the best stuff that I've done in my career. And, you know, it's a new Jericho, and I think everybody realizes that, including myself. So the outside projects are great, but I think just the fact that I've been able to, you know, kind of deliver more in the WWE and become more of a main event presence allows me to be the freedom to do a few more of these different things that I've been doing. So a combination of the two, probably.
Now, I know you and Shawn Michaels had a lot of creative input during your amazing program. How much do you get involved creatively these days, and is that something that's
always
really changed since
always.
Your return?
Yeah, that wasn't the first time that I'd done that, and it won't be the last. I mean, every program, every angle, every storyline I do, I have a presence in it and have a big part in writing it and creating it. And I always laugh because, just like the Shawn Michaels program, when it started, there was always people bitching and complaining about different things and why are they doing this and why are they doing that when it's all part of a big long storyline, kind of similar to what we're doing now. It makes me laugh because it's like, oh, Jericho's this and Jericho's that. It's like, yes, you don't know everything. Just sit back, relax, and watch the show and wait until things see how things unfold. I'm always a proponent of long-term storylines. I don't like week-by-week stories that are encapsulated and introduced and decided within one or 2 weeks. I never grew up watching storylines like that, and that's none of the stories I've ever done that have been good, from the Rey Mysterio one to the Shawn Michaels one to the Steve Austin one to the Mickey Rourke one to the Christian and Trish and Jericho love triangle. All those storylines were very long, 3, 4, 5, 6 month stories, and you know, I think people need to sit back and realize that sometimes whenever I'm doing something on the show, chances are there's more to it than just what you're seeing week by week.
So you're saying this little losing streak thing might actually lead to something else?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying people need to sit back and relax and realize that I'm in charge, not the people watching.
Gotcha. The story of the week is...
I think people should know by now that Jericho is never what you think. Anything that I've ever done is never what you think it is. And people need to realize that by now. So anyways, that was not enough said.
Gotcha, man. The story of the week is really the release of Bryan Danielson over his role in the NXT invasion angle. How surprised were you by that development? And I'm curious, has anyone from WWE ever said what you can or cannot do now that the company has transitioned to this PG rating?
Yeah, I mean, PG is PG, so there are restrictions and things that we're told what we can and can't do. It happens every week, you know. I think Danielson being released right at the, you know, at the edge of this whole NXT storyline is definitely something that was probably more maybe that was placed on the company by somebody outside of the company, or somebody got their wrist slapped and Bryan was the one who paid the price. I don't know. I just know that the whole NXT invasion is great, but you're also dealing with a bunch of very, very green guys, and Danielson is the one guy, with the exception of Wade Barrett, who has years of worldwide experience, and you can have a great match with almost anybody. So I don't think this was just some kind of a knee-jerk reaction or a slap on the wrist. Something happened that was, you know, that they had to really kind of backtrack and fire him because of that. But, I mean, we're not allowed to choke. We know that. We haven't been able to for years. Maybe he didn't know. But, you know, it's a shame because he was, I think, you know, the real gem in that NXT lineup. And I think that team of guys is hurt by him not being involved.
Do you think this is one of those things that once whatever heat there is dies down, he could come back?
I would hope so. Yeah, I mean, definitely would hope so.
And shifting back to you, with all these projects you've got going on outside WWE, including hosting ABC's Downfall, fronting Fozzy, how much longer do you see yourself working a full-time WWE schedule?
Well, I mean, it all depends. I mean, I've never, once again, I mean, the stuff I've been doing over the last couple of years, in my opinion, is the best of my career. I feel great mentally. I feel great physically. So I think especially now in this day and age, there's so many, you know, green guys with not a lot of experience. Somebody like me is worth even more because, I mean, you can't teach experience. You can teach someone how to take a bump. You can teach someone how to do a promo, but you can't teach, give them the experience that sometimes it takes to make things work and to be able to better the company and yourself. So, I have no plans on retiring, so to speak. And No plans on leaving the WWE anytime soon because, like I said, I'm enjoying it more now than I probably ever have. And I enjoy the different storylines, the different elements. And whether I'm working in the first match or the last match, at this point in my career, I've proven who I am and what I am. And I'm very confident in my abilities. So, like I said, I like to kind of manipulate and fool people when they think they know everything. And that's another reason why I still enjoy being involved in the business, because it's never cut and dry with Jericho. And then plus, you know, kind of the character that I have and the work that I do, you can put me anywhere. And if I decide I want to build somebody up, then I can do that. If I decide I want to try and go for the world championship, then I can do that. If I decide that I want to be in a tag team, then I can do that. So it's just, I'm all about making things different. You never want to see the same guys working against the same guys all the time. It gets boring. And that's, I mean, I saw it kill companies time and time again. And I've never been that like that. And right now, I mean, there's not a lot of guys at that top level. So you can stay in one level and work the same guy for 2 years, or you can try and build up other guys. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I enjoy seeing new guys get a chance and see them taking the bull by the horns and becoming main event superstars. That's what it's all about.
I mean, you've pretty much done it all in pro wrestling, but I'm curious if there's still a dream match or maybe a major goal that you're setting out to achieve before you do call it a career.
Really haven't, man. I mean, the last guy that I never worked was Undertaker, and we never really had a big pay-per-view match, but the first match we had on SmackDown back in November, I believe it was everything that I expected it to be, and I really enjoyed that match that we had. I'd like to do a further program with him, but if we never did it, I'd still be happy to know that we had that one great classic match on SmackDown. But other than that, I mean, there really isn't anybody left that I want to work with. My biggest goal right now, you know, after 20 years in the business, still being fairly young, you know, at 39 years old, when I first started, most of the guys that were world champions were in their 40s. But to me, the most important thing now is passing the torch as much as I can and trying to spread this experience that I have that not a lot of other guys do. I mean, there's nobody really left that trained the same way that I did and came to the business the same way that I did. And it's kind of a shame sometimes. I mean, you got a lot of guys that, like I said, they don't have a lot of experience. They're being expected to carry the load, and they're doing a great job, but they still don't know everything. I mean, even a guy like John Cena or Randy Orton, they've still only been in the business for 8 years, 9 years. It's not a long time. I wrestled for 9 years before I even got to the WWE.
Right.
So, I mean, they're still learning. And I'm still learning. Shit, I mean, everybody's still learning. But the point is, you know, I like to try and, like I said, you know, pass whatever torch that I had to pass, try and help these guys with some of the things that I see that are just blatantly not being realized because they just don't know any better. And, you know, I do. So I think it's my duty as one of the elder statesmen in the business, as ridiculous as that sounds, still being in my 30s, but to be able to help out as much as I can to make these guys better and so they can, you know, lead the way and continue to draw money and continue to make the business grow and succeed for years to come as well.
Now, I know you're on a tight schedule today, so this will be the final question. Is there anything you want to say to the parasitic tapeworms out there who might actually be thinking about skipping the debut of ABC's Downfall on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time?
Well, like I said, I mean, that's the cool thing about Jericho fans. They're very loyal to me, all the stuff I've done throughout the years. But this is far beyond Chris Jericho. I mean, this is ABC. This is a whole different level. This is Fremantle Media, the company that produces American Idol and America's Got Talent. So, like I said, I think the show is great as a spectacle. I mean, you know, we're not dropping the real prizes over. They're just like reasonable facsimiles or replicas of the prizes. We're not wasting, you know, brand new cars on a smashing to the ground. But I think just the whole concept of the show is enough to draw people in. But much like any gimmick, if there isn't something behind the gimmick, it gets boring very quickly. And this show doesn't have that. And it's very exciting, very dramatic. And I was just really, really excited to be involved with it. And I'm really excited to hear the people's reactions to it because it's a great show. And I think if anything could be a success, this show will be a success. And who knows, maybe it'll become the next Howie Mandel and, you know, be on a board game soon.
Well, Chris, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for the time, and best of luck with Downfall.
Cheers, man. Thanks.
Take care.